Good evening, everyone. We're going to start the meeting. Good evening. I call the September 18th, 2023 Warwick City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley?
Here.
Mr. Gephardt?
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser? Mr. McElroy?
Yeah.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you. Councilman Foley, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
My pleasure.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose bright stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Before we get started, I have a housekeeping item. The undisclosed vote taken by the Warwick City Council during executive session of the September 6, 2023 meeting was unanimous vote to enter into a consent order regarding plaintiff's motion for a temporary restraining order in the pending litigation of Cody v. Travis, case number CA23-346. First up on the agenda this evening is number one, marks not to exceed 5 minutes by Mr. Robert Cody regarding issues directly affecting city government. Mr. Cody.
Thank you. Rob Cody, Ward 7. Good evening. Tonight I'm here to make the comments that I attempted to make on July 23rd prior to Councilwoman Travis violating my First Amendment. I began by congratulating Councilwoman Travis for making another front page of the Providence Journal because of some ethical questioning business deals. It's publicity around unethical behavior such as that that does not put the city of Warwick into a favorable light with the general public. We need to do better. That's all I wanted to say then. Secondly, I received from the city clerk this official accountability sheet from the Warwick Fire Department of the personnel on duty Gatsby Day Parade on June 10th, and it shows that Lieutenant Derek Richard was in charge of the Special Hazard 1 vehicle on June 10th. On that day, during the parade, Derek Richard made and displayed in the windshield of a city vehicle a disparaging poster of me, which was displayed throughout the parade for the sole intent to mock and harass a Remember, you may remember this Warwick firefighter, Mr. Derek, as he was the individual that by chance I happened to film him using Ladder 1 to take his own dog to the dog grooming parlor on January 19th on the taxpayer dime. And on Facebook stating that this was an unauthorized use of a company vehicle and that he and his supervisor were to be disciplined. Apparently, discipline fell upon deaf ears. I sent two letters to both the mayor and the fire chief about this matter, both of which were ignored. Ignoring such behavior in this city is what has emboldened this type of activity and is more likely to continue. It appears that unfortunately Mr. Richard now has placed the city in a position to yet to have to defend an additional lawsuit. Lastly, at the July 23rd meeting, prior to speaking, the Sergeant of Arms passed out another official document that I obtained. This document is from the National Personnel Records Center of the U.S. Military. The record shows that Mayor Bocozzi, for some reason, was by the United States Marines. He was asked by the Boston Globe to submit the reason for his early termination, and he has refused to do so. As you are aware, under Freedom of Information, a person's military record is a document that's routinely requested when seeking employment, and it's a fair document for any employer to ask for. As you all know, this mayor has constantly boasted and stated that he has the most transparent administration in Warwick's history. I believe that the taxpayers of Warwick have the right to know why he was terminated from the military. After all, we are his employer. And this speaks to character. We can only assume, since he has refused to sign the standard 180 release form, which anybody can sign at any time, that there must be something else to hide. And I'd like to know what that is. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up on the agenda is general communications. This is announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. I have one. I'd like to congratulate the organization REMO, which Councilman Howe is the president. They run the military lounge at the airport, and they recently celebrated 10 years of all volunteers that there to serve the military members that are flying in and out of TF Green Airport. They've served over 50,000 individuals since they started, including over 1,000 since July of this year. So I just like to congratulate Councilman Howe, the entire REMO volunteer organization that does this, that gives a nice place for the people that are serving our country to kind of sit back, relax, wait for their flights. The Cardi Corporation has been great donating the furniture that is in there, and they actually named one of the two rooms there after Mr. Cardi. So I thought that was great. I think Mayor Bocozzi attended, Councilman Lattiser attended, and you had the support of the members of the council as well. So congratulations to REMO. Congratulations, Mr. Howe. Are there any other general communications from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
Unless there are any other members who would request a moment of silence. This would be regarding Eleanor Chardonnay. So let's see, I see a couple of hands up. I don't know if we would want to combine any moments of silence.
We'll do one for each person.
Okay. Thank you. So Eleanor Chardonnay unfortunately passed away last week. She was the wife of my predecessor on this city council, Thomas Chardonnay, who served on this council for 4 years. She was a decades-long resident of Warwick, contributed a lot to the city, and I would request a moment of silence.
Thank you. We'll have a moment of silence. Thank you. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to request a moment of silence for Bernard Johnson. This gentleman lived in Ward 5, recently passed away, and also recently celebrated his 70th wedding anniversary. Thank you.
A moment of silence. Thank you. Councilwoman Travis.
I'd like to have a moment of silence for Alexander Sinapi, which is Councilman Anthony Sinapi's grandfather. And I believe the funeral was today. We're lucky to have you with us today. But I'd like to have a moment of silence.
Thank you. A moment of silence for Mr. Thank you. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, obviously there's a lot more people in attendance in the meeting now than it was at 5 o'clock. So I would request that you reiterate Rule 20, please. Thank you.
Yep. Go ahead. Is there anything else under general communications for members of the council? Councilman Howe.
Mr. President, this is a general communication and response. Taking advantage of my First Amendment rights, I would like to call out the appalling statement made by Robert Cody concerning the military record of somebody.
Mr. Howe, the solicitor is advising that we should.
So do I sign up then, Mr. President, to speak as a public citizen?
The item you're requesting is not a general communication.
So for clarification, if there is a way to rebuttal a false statement by a comment made, and also, if I may, we're setting a precedence, and this is for discussion, solicitor, we're setting a precedence by having someone make a bold statement of something that's very personal and something that is an unfair statement, an untrue statement, because I think I understand the whole discharge pattern of the military. I would like to correct that statement that was made.
Councilman.
Yes, sir.
If I may. Any citizen of Warwick under Rule 1 can speak about issues of city government. It may be more appropriate if for your remarks to fall under that general rule. And so since we have a Rule 41 tonight, that may be a more appropriate time to take the same opportunity that was granted for a different perspective on the same issue.
So my follow-up question, should I sign up on the sign-up sheet?
You're a citizen of Warwick. You're eligible to do so.
Thank you.
Anything else under general communications? Mr. Howe, I can sign you up. I have the list here. We are now moving on. Nothing else from general communications for members of the council. We are now moving to executive communications. There are none. We're moving to A, the acceptance of minutes from a council meeting held on September 6, 2023. Do I have a motion, Councilman Howe?
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Next up this evening on the agenda is public comment. Rule 41, after general communications and prior to the consent calendar, at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly among speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comments shall be issues directly affecting city government. The City Council members will not vote, will not respond to questions during a public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of the speakers concluding their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires a unanimous vote of the council. Two points. Again, this is an agenda item of Rule 41 for the individuals who signed up for this. However, we will be going into, we will still be talking about the school bond, and you will be able to speak on that as well. We have 17 individuals who have signed up to speak today, less than 2 minutes each. Unless there's objections from my colleagues, I submit to make it easier, we'll give everybody 2 minutes. Any objections? Okay. The first speaker that signed up for Rule 41 is Cindy Wilson.
I'm not sure why you're letting these people stand here all this time, but I will say that it's interesting, Mr. Howe, that you would challenge Mr. Cody, knowing what a fact seeker he is. I entertain that engagement. That should be interesting. But I do implore all of you to reconsider and to table this. Everybody wants a new school. I'm not a teacher, but I would love a new school. I would love if I had a kid in the school to have a new school. but I can't afford a new school. And although it is not the responsibility of the citizens to help senior citizens, you know, we did our part. We paid our taxes. I own a home in Warwick Neck. I love it. I love Warwick, most of Warwick. And I just implore you to please reconsider this. There's so many people that are going to be affected. I just implore you to really just take a step back and a deep breath and reconsider it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Michael.
Good evening. My name is Mike DeSalvia. I'd like to start out with an email the superintendent sent out last year, Facts and Myths. Her answer was fact, that schools can be built for $350 million. We all know now that's a myth. She also stated that schools need to be replaced due to the age. This is a myth. Schools are being replaced due to neglect. We were promised a walking track. That's gone. But don't worry. The elderly that would have used it won't be using it because they'll be taxed out of their homes. That's going to be a fact. And what AC being taken out? How's that 21st century? Now let's move on to the company that did this appraisal. Can you tell me how many of these projects your company has done that have been within budget, not going over? And would your company be willing to cover any extra cost to this project if you're confident it can be done at this price of $350 million?
You have 1 minute.
Also, how is pay figured out? If at prevailing wage, what happens when the union takes this job and their pay scale is much higher? I'll tell you, another add-on. Well, yes, we need schools. The Warwick School Department destroyed these schools with neglect. It's just not the time to build with interest on the rise and the uncertainty of materials being available. The elderly deserve better than to be forced out. And remember, you might not like what you wish for. New people, new ideas, new politicians, as Ms. Travis has learned. Have a good night.
Thank you. The next speaker is Michelle L.
Good evening. My name is Michelle Landry. I am the science department chairperson at Tollgate High School. Apparently, I am going to go against the grain to what I have heard so far, but that's okay. I'm a big girl. And I'm here to speak for the students of Warwick who are sitting right over there, some of whom are sitting right over there. I have heard the phrase 21st century learning tossed around as if it were superfluous to student achievement. The fact is that our current schools cannot support the kind of learning students need in order to be successful adults and future taxpayers. I can provide one concrete example. I have one, there are tons. I can provide you tonight with one concrete example. The use of Bunsen burners in the science lab rooms at Tollgate. We can't use Bunsen burners. Because if you walk down the A2 corridor, where are eight classrooms, the gas on-off switch is in A202. So if A212 wants to use gas for a Bunsen burner for an experiment, the gas goes through all the classrooms in between. And we have to go up and down and make sure all the valves are closed because the kids love to play with the valves, but it's dangerous. So guess what? I stopped using it. About 4 or 5 years ago, I just had no more Bunsen burners. So I have to spend a little over $200 of my budget every year to buy butane burners so that we can do 21st century STEM labs in our science classrooms. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Sean G.
Excuse me a second, Council President.
joined by a special guest this evening. Honorable members of the council, Council President McAllister, my name is Sean Galligan, 14 Pilgrim Drive, Ward 2, taxpayer, Pilgrim High School graduate, and parent of three actively enrolled Warwick Public School students. Tonight's vote clearly has a wide-ranging points within this chambers. Like anything which costs money financially, the impacts will differ house to house, and I respect the positions of everyone within this room. Tonight's vote is more than a vote, though, for two schools and what it can cost. It's more than purchasing a brick and mortar. It is an investment. It's an investment into our community. It is an investment, importantly, into the youth of our city. Tonight, I am joined by a Hoxie Hawk by the name of Quinn, a future Pilgrim High School student, and hopefully a Pilgrim High School student attending a brand new Pilgrim, because that's what these children and this community deserves. These students deserve a clean, modern, and safe school.
You have 1 minute.
Looking back to the Pilgrim High School, which my uncle graduated from and then went on to serve in Vietnam, their computer room was filled with typewriters, right? Typewriters. Then when I was there, we had the big desktop computers, and now we're expecting the same facilities to support the electric and internet needs to support Wi-Fi and wireless laptops. In 2017, these buildings were evaluated by a third party. Facility index scores were provided and graded these schools in a position where it would be financially irresponsible to renovate rather than rebuild. So I agree with the opposition on this. I do, that we need to be fiscally responsible tonight. And the fiscally responsible thing to do, according to the third party, is rebuild these schools. And that was back in 2017. Thank you, council members.
Thank you. The next speaker is Alex T.
Good evening, council. My name is Alex Torres, Ward 2 resident. I support the new schools being built for 21st century learning. My daughter attends Tollgate High School, and you have all these children on Wi-Fi, tablets, and Chromebooks, and it can't support the children learning. Half of them can't even connect to the internet. So we need to upgrade our schools for the children, but also I feel like we should find $3 million to put AC in these schools for the students, for the teachers. Nobody would build a new house without AC, so we should not be building schools without AC. That's all I have to say. It's a minuscule amount if we're going to be paying for this bond over 20 or 30 years. I'm pretty sure we can find that money. So build the schools and put the AC in for the teachers, for the students, so they can learn and not go home early because it's too hot out. So thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Barry C.
Barry Cook, Namco Drive, president of the Warwick Taxpayers Association. I must say I'm a little confused, and I'm surprised that nobody on the council picked up on it. Here's my question. Am I on my 10 minutes that I've been waiting for an hour? Yes or no?
Oh, you're on public.
This is Rule 41. Go ahead, sir.
I couldn't hear what you said.
This is Rule 41. We don't answer questions at this time.
What about the 10 minutes that I was allowed to speak about the resolution?
Yes, I've mentioned that many times. You will still have an opportunity to speak on that.
So again,
sir, you have a minute 30 left to speak on any city issue at this time.
I want to speak on the behavior of you, Mr. McAllister. We've been standing in line for an hour. It appears to me this is nothing but a stall tactic. So here's my comment. This meeting to discuss the resolution is fraudulent. This resolution is fraudulent. This whole activity that you're proposing this evening is improper. So as far as I'm concerned, there should be no vote tonight on this issue. It should be tabled. I'll be back for my 10 minutes because I have a lot more to say. But I want to end with this. Tonight we have members of the Warwick Taxpayers Association, members of various community groups. We filled our side of the hall.
And he's on the mic.
They filled their side of the hall. Our members here want answers. And you know what? There are no answers coming that are worthwhile. I'm done. I'll be back for my 10 minutes.
Thank you. The next speaker is Cynthia C. Is there Mrs. Cook or Ms. Cook?
Cynthia.
She spoke last time.
She spoke an hour ago.
Okay, so she, thank you. We'll go to the next speaker then. Rob Cody.
Let me just reiterate what I said before pertaining to the school construction. We're not against schools. We're against presenting the accurate information to the voters. The information you presented to them is not what they're going to get. Virtually every aspect of this construction project has been changed. We've had multiple errors along the way. Stage two documents, 85.7 million in errors. The new documents from Alana, virtually every single line item on cost of the construction, the math is incorrect. There's mathematical errors all the way through it. You just can't indebt the future generations of the city of Warwick with this amount of millions of dollars without sharpening your pencil and having documents that don't have mathematical errors and omissions of millions of dollars. You can't do that. That's a breach of your fiduciary duty to do that to both the kids, the students, and the residents. It's not about who wants schools and who doesn't want schools. We all want them, but we want to know that the senior citizens aren't going to get taxed out of their homes.
1 minute, Mr. Cody.
We want to know that the people in Warwick are getting what they voted for and not being put through a big bait and switch scenario, because that's exactly what's taking place. So all we're asking you to do, verify your documents, substantiate your mathematics so they're correct, so that we don't find errors in third grade mathematics, and put forth the project to the taxpayers that they can vote on, that they have the confidence to know that officials gave them what they asked for and didn't bait and switch. That's all we're asking for. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Jim.
Thank you, neighbors. Dear friends, about the schools, we have been conned. What we were promised, what we voted on, is not what is being offered. So I'm just reiterating, of course we're here to educate our children. Of course we don't want to be one of the lowest school systems in one of the lowest states in this nation. How can we expect our children to do even as well as we did unless we properly educate them? But let's not get conned, and I'm not saying you guys conned. They don't have the right figures. We don't have the right figures. And we're being sold a bill of goods. WPRI tonight in print said, oh, it's only going to cost $300 million. I believe you guys retracted it. Thank you. But there's been so much misinformation that's going on and on and on. We need to figure out what we really need to do, what the real costs are, and let's work together for our children. And the other thing, we have teachers working almost without a contract coming up.
You have 1 minute.
We got to take care of them. So let's not spend all the money in the school and then slit our throats of our teachers. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next speaker is Darlene N.
I actually gave my last name. It's Darlene Netco. Ward 7, lifelong resident of Warwick, homeowner, taxpayer, just like everybody else. And I'm here to speak in favor of the schools, which I've done many times before. Let's not forget that twice the voters of Warwick voted for the state of Rhode Island to issue bonds to reimburse cities and towns for the costs of new schools. Twice Warwick voters did that at 78% of the vote. So our tax dollars are going to the state of Rhode Island. Then the Warwick taxpayer, the Warwick voter, voted for these two new schools and voted knowing that there would be reimbursement. And in fact, the reimbursement is actually higher than originally planned because the state of Rhode Island went back and did some more, you know, figuring. So we're actually going to get a 55% reimbursement instead of the 52 and change. To not vote on this resolution to issue these bonds is a slap in the face to all of the people who voted for these schools. This issue has been litigated at the ballot box. These schools need to be built. I teach in a windowless classroom. Half of Tollgate has no windows. Some of my colleagues that do have windows describe their rooms as pizza ovens because of the way the morning sun beats on the brick on the third floor of the building. You can't expect students to learn in these conditions. People scoff at the term 21st century learning. Maybe learn something about what that means before you laugh at it and make fun of it, because our kids are 21st century kids and they're learning in 20th century buildings, and the buildings have outlived their natural life. Pilgrim cannot have any more electrical upgrades to it. You can't do anything else with it. And Tollgate is pretty close to it. And I've said it before, I'll take you into our English department book room and I'll show you the spaghetti that's in there, all the wires that are supposed to be running all our tech.
Thank you.
Thank you. As I said, vote for the schools.
The next speaker, Robin, looks like.
My name is Robin Cardenas. I contacted many of you this week.
If you could speak right into the mic, it's very hard to hear in here.
Which one?
Ours. The one.
Okay. I urge you to vote no on this issue. I don't think it's us versus them. We do need new schools. I'd love a brand new Mercedes. We just can't do it right now. And especially drawing it out over 30 years is even a worse idea. We just can't afford this right now. I'd love to have new schools, but I think it feels like a bait and switch. I saw the presentation at Winman, at Tollgate rather, which I am a graduate of. It was a beautiful school. And there's no reason our children shouldn't have something like that. But we can't afford two like that. One good school is better than nothing. So please vote no and do the right thing.
Thank you. Next up is James A.
James Harrison, Warwick resident since 1972. And we've heard a lot of numbers tonight, so I have a number for you. 58-41. 58 yes, 41 no. I have been involved in this since the beginning. I have heard the same arguments made by these people. There is no bait and switch here. They have been making the same argument. This bond was put to the voters. The voters voted 58-41. They want this schools. They want this school. They are expecting you to deliver these schools. I am expecting you, as a taxpayer, as a person who voted yes, to deliver these schools. You represent me. You represent the will of the people of Warwick. They want these schools. A couple other numbers that have been thrown around. So it was always remember, it was not a special election. It was an even year election.
You have 1 minute.
Everybody knew that this question was on the ballot. There was no surprise. There was no October where only 600 people voted for it. More people voted in Warwick than in Providence. And again, 58 voted yes, 41 voted no. After they made their presentations, after they made their arguments, the people of Warwick want this. 58-41. Please remember that later tonight. Do your job. Represent the people of Warwick. None of you, Mr. Lasser particularly, is an Edmund Burke. You are not Edmund Burke, sir. Do what the people of your ward overwhelmingly voted for. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Cheryl.
Good evening. My name is Cheryl Adesi. I'm a resident of Ward 3. I've lived in Warwick for 54 of my 60 years. I went to Hoxie School, where I was a member of the first grade class there when it was a brand new school. I also went to Gorton and graduated from Pilgrim in 1981. My son also went through Warwick Schools, graduating from Tollgate last year. Pilgrim was in horrible shape 43 years ago when I graduated, sorry, 42 years ago, and still is. I know that over the years, many Band-Aids have been slapped on these buildings, but there comes a point where Band-Aids just won't help anymore. We're long past that point. Our children and our grandchildren deserve better. We, the voters of Warwick, approved the bond to build these new high schools, so let's quit the bickering and get it done. There are some who want to put it back on the ballot to re-vote. In our democracy, that's not how things work. We don't get to vote again just because we're not happy with the results. So, members of the City Council,
you have
I
one
implore
minute.
You to approve these buildings. Thank you for your time.
Chris B.
Chris Barker, Ward 3. The voters of Warwick have been sold a false bill of goods. Since the initial propaganda used to cajole passage of question 4, the square footage has been reduced approximately 49,000 square feet. Of all the features and amenities falsely presented to the public, how many have been value engineered out of the final product? I request that the vote on releasing the bonds be tabled until such time as the city's elected officials and school committee can commit to a clear and transparent offer to the public and not the false promises in the presentations leading up to the vote on question 4, of which 36.1% of Warwick residents voted on. While you're at it, stop using the children's future to extort a bad deal for the city's taxpayers and do your due diligence. Is this really the best our city can do? A bait and switch? What this city truly needs is fiscal responsibility, a new moral compass, and the gumption to act in the interest
you
of
have
the
one
taxpayers.
Minute.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Daryl N. G.
Good evening. My name is Daryl N. I live on Wesleyan Avenue, and I live with four generations in my house. The first comment I'm going to give you is from my 82-year mother. Shame on you if you do not vote for this. What is the matter with those people? We voted. The second is from me. I left Warwick for probably about 4 years and I'm back. This city used to be great. I begged to work in the city because I am also a teacher. And these schools won't be built because I hope to retire before they're finished. However, I currently switched to Tollgate this year. To turn my heat on, there's a toggle switch. I am in one of those classrooms that has two windows. I was told how lucky I am because I got a free detox as I sweat. These schools are not 21st century learning. My father and I have had this conversation back in 2017 when we talked about combining schools and the possibility of building schools before we built the middle school that houses 1,200 hormonal students. Try working in that. You have made bad decision after bad decision. And I know nobody wants their taxes put up, but I'm also a business owner. And as a business owner, we need to grow businesses in this city. That's not gonna happen if we can't get families back. Families aren't gonna come back. They all went to North Kingston and South when we consolidated. If we don't do the right thing for our community, and we don't entice people to come back, then we're gonna watch buildings go empty. Our tax base is going to continue to decrease, and that is what is going to drive our taxes up. And I suggest maybe we have those seniors volunteer for Warwick Public Schools, and they can walk our tracks with our kids because they need people and mentors.
Thank you. Next up is Liz N.
Good evening, members of the City Council and Council President McAllister. I'm actually a member of your ward. I live in Greenwood. I'm here this evening as a taxpayer, as a 26-year veteran teacher in Warwick, but most importantly as a mom. I can't tell you what it's like to spend the majority of your working day and your learning day in a box with no access to natural light. I won't repeat too much of what the previous speakers have mentioned, but both the school department and the city council have both followed through with their due diligence. The taxpayers have spoken. It's been studied enough. Please vote this evening to release the bond money. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And the last speaker is Tim H.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like just to identify a few things pertaining to some statements that were made earlier.
Please identify yourself.
I apologize. Timothy Howe, Ward 3, great city of Warwick. Less than 1%, as 1% serve in the military. Approximately 99.9 or even, 99.99995 or 4% of that population are under the age of 18 or 18 or 19 years old. They're young. It's a decision that people make, no matter what, to give it the go and try. It takes a lot of thought and courage to try to commit to that career. It doesn't always work. Councilman Lattiser, you can attest to that, joining the United States Marine Corps. Councilman McElroy, you can attest to that, joining the United States Air Force. It's a tough decision. It's a difficult decision for a young person to make. Now, contrary to what's being said or what's being indicated or identified or attempted to make identified, the military, unlike someone who can go ahead and maybe get their records expunged.
You have 1 minute.
Thank you. The military does have other than dishonorable discharges. We discharge people all the time. People with the military and the person decide that it's not the best value to go ahead and serve. The military cuts personnel all the time, even during war, when they feel they exceeded their numbers. It happens all the time. It's not a negative thing, but it's a personal thing. And this is a very personal subject. It takes all the courage in the world to take out your credit card, go on a computer in your basement, and research people that you're mad at. But it takes more courage. It takes zero courage to do that, but it takes all the courage in the world to go ahead and enlist and sign up and be the less than that 0.5%. It is a very personal issue, and I ask that everyone keep that in mind, that the only thing that identifies of someone's military record is if it is dishonorable. If it's not dishonorable, then it is honorable, and it was done under good test. Thank you.
Thank you. Yep. Next up is on the agenda is the consent calendar. First up is PCR 101-23, resolution relative to bids, committee report, finance.
Move favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Recommend favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2024-129, bid 2024-161, bid 2024-160, bid 2022-085, bid 2024-162, bid 2024-194, bid 2024-140, bid 2024-193, bid 2024-182, bid 2024-192, bid 2024-180, bid 2024-188, bid 2023-137, bid 2024-164, bid 2023-209. That concludes the bid package, Mr. President.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in the Finance Committee on the bid package? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action on the bid package.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lanza?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, consent passes.
Thank you. Consent calendar passes. We are now moving to unfinished business. The first is PCR 92-23. This is going to be held to October 2nd. So now we are back to new business, which is PCR 99-23. This is the school bond issue. I know we had a number of individuals, so we're going to go right back to the public. Please come up to the mic, identify yourself. And again, this is if you're for or against the releasing the bonds for $350 million to build two new schools.
Point of order, Council President. Just we are going to hear from anyone who wants to speak. So I know some folks have been standing for a long time. Even if they were to sit, we would still hear them when they
correct. Anybody up, right? Who so. Like the opportunity to speak will have the opportunity to speak at this time. Thank you. Go ahead.
Good evening, Council President and City Council members. I urge you to vote no on this resolution. If you're taking a vote tonight, I'm opposed to it. And believe me, I was a voter in the ballot, and I wasn't present with all the information I needed to vote yes or no in the booth that day. In November. Now, the City Council passed this resolution to get this issue on the ballot back in June of 2022. And they gave charge to the City Solicitor and the Bond Council to take it to the General Assembly for two things. The General Assembly says, we'll put it on the ballot. Yes, there's permission to do so. And number two, yes, City of Warwick, you can seek these bonds if the community votes in favor of it. The bond council, I'm hoping, is present tonight to answer my question, because what we didn't see in the booth to vote was the 20% change to a 30-year repayment period at the cost of another $50 million to taxpayers. That wasn't disclosed. In fact, on the City Council's website, question four, 20-year repayment term. Now that's 30. That was news that I learned just for this meeting. So is the Bond Council here tonight to answer the question if that can be done, that change can be done without going back to the voters? And is the City Council considering voting on the
20 or 30 year repayment period tonight as part of this resolution.
Is anyone from bond council here? Mr. Schaefer.
Hold on, he'll turn the mic on for you.
I talked to her yesterday. The language that you drafted that was before you authorizes bonds up to 30 years. And that's what the General Assembly passed, and that's what people voted on. As I indicated earlier, we did numbers on what the annual debt service would be based upon 20 years. Obviously, it's less per year if you do a 30-year or 25-year amortization. But the statute, the act passed by the General Assembly authorizes up to 30 years.
For me, in the booth, I relied on the city's information, which was 20 years at the time. 20-year repayment term. That was on the city's website. And that was the only information out on any kind of repayment period, 20-year. And this now is going to cost, in a 30-year, $50 million more to taxpayer. That wasn't disclosed. On Mr. Schaefer's physical note, changing topics now, I want to direct you to the last number in it, which is 7.1%. And it says it's the new debt service as a percentage of tax levy. Well, for people like me, that means a percentage of the taxable property in Warwick, which we're taxed, so that the city gets revenue to pay their bills and pay their debts. That's at 7.01. The General Assembly, when they pass the Enabling Act to put this issue on the ballot and let the city go after bond money if it did pass through the voters, mentions in there another statute, 4512-2. And in there, it speaks about the maximum aggregate indebtedness. Red flag, 3%. 3% tops without going to special statutory authority to get approval to put additional burden on the taxpayers. We're at 7.01% just for schools. We have existing debt now. So I'd like to know what our existing debt to get our aggregate indebtedness figure that is in addition to the 7.1%. Just don't want to ask for projections because we get in trouble. The city can't project, apparently, 5 years. So what is our indebtedness percentage today? That is the percentage of property values, taxes coming in towards paying off our debt. And I guess this would be Mr. Schaefer's question, right? Thank you.
Mr. Schaefer.
Well, there's two questions here. First of all, the 7% that she's referring to is the total debt service on this project after project completion. What I'm saying is that's equal to 7% of the tax levy. So someone might say, well, we'd have to increase our taxes 7% to pay that. Obviously, we would hope to phase it in over a period of years. But you, for example, you were quoted in the paper last week. This is going to cost money. No one disputes that. I'm saying that the value of the debt service to fund from taxes, this amount of money would be in the neighborhood of 7% of the existing tax levy, which this year, as approved by the council in May, is a little over $233 million. The other issue, and I'm going to have to turn a page to get an exact figure. You're going to have to wait a minute, but
There's two forms of debt. There's self-supporting debt supported by the general obligation, and then there's sewer debt that the city, it's all paid for from sewer use fees. So the real figure, it's around $70 million. It's going to take me a minute to find the right page. I don't keep numbers in my head. Sure. I'm sorry. I just don't remember them. But let me just...
May I continue with my 10 minutes while he's looking for that, please?
Go ahead.
Is that okay?
Yep.
Thank you. Okay. So we need to know how far over that warning, 3% we are. Don't know that number. We don't know what it's costing the Warwick taxpayers in additional taxes, quarterly, yearly, based on taxes, our debt, and bills today. Let's not talk about projections. Like I said, city has a hard time projecting 5 years out. The WSA, when they go out for a loan, they do a rate study. They know how much revenue they need to collect to pay off that debt. They have a debt schedule of paying it back, not just the new one, but all the old ones as well, all the existing ones. I don't see any documents here from the city of how we're going to pay all these debts. The city council approved to release bonds for $56 million for middle schools and elementary schools. Let's add that into the figure here. I don't see our aggregate indebtedness figure. What are we on the hook for? And by the way, when the General Assembly approved that Enabling Act to put this on the voters' ballot, they told Warwick, you're on the hook. You're on the hook for paying back this debt no matter what. And if you don't go after the money and appropriate what that sum is, it's coming out of property taxes. Warwick citizens, property owners, property taxes. We should have a big say because we're the ones on the hook, the Warwick taxpayers. And we don't have all the figures here of how far we're over that 3% with all our city debts, the $56 million just approved by the council, the additional $50 million we're going to see because we're going to a longer rate to make it look better in the short term. And for these two schools, which now exceed what the voters voted for at $350 million. And I don't see the proper numbers to the taxpayers. Haven't seen it when I was at the mic back in June. I said, we're not ready to go back to my kitchen table and have this discussion. Don't have the numbers. Still don't have the numbers. Council's not ready to vote on this tonight. We cannot put Warwick taxpayers in such debt and disarray that they will have to vacate the city. You don't want that. I don't think that's the goal here. But the voters did not have the information they needed at the ballot. And if they had all their information, they might be shocked and say, we can't afford this.
You have 1 minute.
$350 million is hard, difficult for the average person to wrap around their head, taxpayer. What does that translate to me? That hasn't been translated down to the taxpayer yet of what these two new schools now are going to cost them, in addition to existing and projected city debt, the whole bundle. I thank you.
Thank you.
I just wait for the answer.
Mr. Shaver.
As of June 30, 2022, the general obligation debt was $83.6 million, and there was another $57.9 million of sewer debt outstanding.
Thank you.
Could I have those numbers again slower, please? Clear? I missed them.
General obligation debt of $80.6 million and another $57.9 million of sewer and water debt.
That's present. Correct? Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker will come up, and please identify yourself.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Mike Peloso, small business owner in Warwick, Rhode Island.
Born and raised, been here 64 years, graduated Pilgrim High School in 1978, which is a long time ago. I'm all for building both schools, as the taxpayers want. I'm also all for a project labor agreement. And I don't see why. I heard one gentleman speak something about union and this other stuff. Union's the best way to build. We need the schools. I got grandkids going to school here. My kids went to school here. We need new schools.
Thank you. If the next speaker would come up and please identify yourself for the record.
Excuse me, Barry Cook, Namco Drive. I just want to make several observations. The first one I want to make is, I saw something tonight in my feed that's pretty apropos. This is what it says, that general population doesn't know what's happening, and it doesn't even know that it doesn't know. So what that means to me is we have an awful lot of open questions. I heard earlier testimony by Mr. Schaefer that on last Thursday, the council was furnished with a fiscal note. That was last Thursday. This is now Monday. So it's hard for me to understand that you received that on Thursday and you spent the weekend going through it so that you fully understand what's in the fiscal note. I find that hard to believe. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. Some other observations. The gentleman that was before me had his ironworker shirt on and he mentioned the unions. I just want to address that because that was spoken about earlier this evening too. I think his name is Steve, the gentleman that's in charge of building the schools. A question was raised by Councilman Ricks about the statement in the consultant's report. It appeared to say they weren't going to use union wages to build these schools. That's what it said. Something about non-union merit shop. And it indicated to me that there was a question as to whether or not they would use union wages or prevailing wages. So I think the gentleman, Steve, I think his name is, said that that was addressed and changed. Is he here? Is he still here?
That is correct. There you prevailing wages.
So I would like to know what was the result of that change. In other words, if they based the original estimate on non-union wages or non-prevailing wages, and now that's been changed to prevailing wages, what was the change in the dollar amount?
There was no change. They used prevailing wages from the start. They just used There was no change. They used prevailing wages from the start. They just used different terminology.
So then the dollar amount was correct in the beginning, and they just failed to identify it properly?
They reported that they used prevailing wages in their report.
Could I have the testimony of this gentleman again, please? He's answering the earlier question. I'd like to answer it again.
He doesn't work for the company that did the report, though.
Okay, so again, I'm out of hearing. I'm a little confused.
That individual works for the school department. Asking a question about a report, he doesn't work for the company that did the report.
I asked him where he works. He testified earlier when Councilman Ricks asked him about the issue on non-union wages. Steve, whatever his last name is, I'm sorry, I don't have it, testified that that had been updated and changed. I'd just like him to go on the record again and reiterating what you said. Could we have his testimony?
He has spoken to that. He said that we've used prevailing wages. So that is, we have documentation sent to the administration, sent to the school department, and sent to myself. We have prevailing wages. Continue, sir.
So for the record, what you're telling me is, I just want to make clear, when that was issued, it was using prevailing wage and misidentified as non-union wages.
The information that I received when I asked that specific question in the email I received back said they used prevailing wages.
Okay, thank you. We had testimony a few minutes ago regarding bond counsel, bonded indebtedness, a cap on debt the city owes. I followed that as best I could. And what I got out of that was that there's no bond counsel here tonight, that Mr. Schaefer testified, but the bond counsel is not present. Is that accurate? Okay. So in answer to the question that was raised, we really don't have an answer regarding that because the bond council is not here. And I think in that same testimony, the issue was raised about whether we had a 20-year payback, a 25-year payback, or a 30-year payback. And earlier testimony and the young lady's testimony was that if we use the 30-year testimony, the payback would be $10 million a year, but it would cost us $50 million more. So the question, I guess, and I think it was answered, but I want to be certain, are you proposing, the council proposing, changing the payment terms from 20 to 30 or 25 or sticking with the 20?
We are not. That is not before us this evening. Before us is just, are we going to release $350 million in general obligation bonds? There's no financing decisions on terms of the bond will be discussed at this meeting. That is not what's before us.
Well, Mr. McAllister, I might say that I disagree with you. It is before us. We're entitled to know that.